It is time to talk birds with Brandon Lentz. I saw on Facebook. Now, Brandon's a volunteer at Northern Community Radio, but because of the pandemic, we haven't really been able to see or hear a lot of our volunteers, and we miss them greatly. Brandon joins us now. I kind of follow you, some of your adventures on Facebook, because they're usually outdoors, and it's just kind of fun to see your trail cam photos and the things that you're doing. And you recently got appointed to the Minneapolis Audubon Board. Am I saying that right?
It's the Minneapolis Audubon chapter. Yeah.
Okay. Well, great. Well, Brandon, thank you for being with us. It's good to hear your voice again.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It's great to be on the air. I feel like it's been a decade since I've been able to talk on the microphone here.
No.
Very nice to have you back. I Heidi tipped me off to your website, and I went and checked some things out, and she sent along this picture, this lovely picture. Did you, of the varied thrush, is that one that you took?
Yes.
Gosh, that is just a nice picture with a great picture of the bird, and I love the little color hints that are in there under the frost of the leaves that are almost the same color as the bird's breast. I'm familiar with the varied thrush. We've had opportunities from time to time to see them here in the Grand Rapids area. And one of my trips out west to Glacier National Park, I actually got a chance to hear one singing and kind of track it down in the underbrush. Really a neat little bird.
Yeah, they are beautiful, gorgeous birds, and they're not normally found in Minnesota. So for me to be able to see one, especially in the Minnesota winter, was very lucky.
Yeah, I have some records. I think Sean Conrad, whom you probably know up here, had one that came to his house, or that he was watching, and he was able to see it until early April, and then it disappeared. And I've never seen one here in the summer. It's always winter.
Yeah, and that's interesting that it happens in the winter. I'm not entirely sure why they show up here when it's the absolute worst time to be here, but I'm not going to complain because, like I said, they're beautiful birds.
Yeah. And you think about their journey to Minnesota. I mean, from the mountains of the West, where they are native, to Minnesota, you'd have to fly across the Dakotas, and that can't be... I suppose if he had a good tailwind, maybe.
Yeah, that's a long way to come here, for sure.
Yeah, yeah.
Because normally they're found, like you said, in Washington, Oregon, Montana, now, generally on the West Coast.
Their feeding habits, are they out here, I typically see them around black oil sunflower seed feeders. Do you know what else they eat?
That is where I found the one that I saw, and that was in Wright County a couple of weeks ago. It came to a private resident who has a lot of black oil sunflower seed feeders outside, and it found her house, and it's been hanging around ever since, so it must be attracted to that food.
Yeah. Well, what other birds are you seeing in the city right now?
At the moment, I am seeing a lot of winter finches. As most folks know, there is a great eruption for winter finches this year. I've been seeing white-winged crossbills recently. Mm. I've seen some evening grosbeaks pretty close to the city. Common red poles are another one that I've been seeing a lot of. A lot of bright, beautiful, colorful winter finches have been around.
Yeah, well, we've been blessed with some evening grosbeaks again. It's been many years since we've had a flock here, but they come daily, and that's just a thrill. But I have no red poles, no pine siskins. I saw one red pole earlier this winter and just a few pine siskins, but they didn't stick around. And I've got thistle and black oil and peanuts and corn. And man, I don't know. Not here, I guess.
Well, if you go to the Sac Zim Bog, there is a flock there that has been hanging around for most of the winter, especially at the Winterberry Bog and the Yellow-Bellied Bog. If you go there, you can see at least 30 to 50 red poles.
Wow. Nice.
On a regular basis. So that's a lot of fun.
Yeah. Well, and this is the time of year typically when I would be out skiing or snowshoeing, and I would see the birch seeds and the birch bracts scattered on top of the snow. And I am seeing a little bit of that. Of course, with the new snow we got on Saturday, it kind of covered up anything that might have fallen. But that's a sort of a red pole, a sign for at least winter finches, red poles and pine siskins. I sort of see that and I think, oh, I should look up. There's probably a bird over my head, or it has been. Yeah. So, anything else down there that's jumps out at you? Any owls? Or you get red-tailed hawks all the time in the city, which is one of the things that I like seeing when I go down there.
Yeah, I've had red-tailed hawks in my front yard on occasion, which is a lot of fun. I'm working from home right now, so I can look out my window and see a red-tailed hawk in the tree in my front yard, which is a lot of fun. A couple weeks ago, I saw my first eastern screech owl along the Mississippi River, which was a lot of fun. They're tiny little owls that don't get any bigger than 9 inches or so.
Sort of saw-wet owl-sized?
Sort of, a little bigger than a saw-wet, but not much.
I've never seen one.
They're really hard to see. You have to really look hard because they like to nest in the cavities of trees, and they blend in with the bark really well.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to be very intentional about where you're looking.
Brandon, do you have favorite places that you go? I mean, it sounds like you can look in your front yard, but favorite places around the Twin Cities area to be bird watching?
Yeah, there are a surprising amount of places around the cities where you can go and escape the city and be in nature. Right in Minneapolis, there is a place called Roberts Bird Sanctuary. It's right by Lake Harriet. It's just a little 30-acre plot of land, but there's a path that goes right through the center of it. And there is a really surprising amount of bird variety there. And that's a 15-minute drive from my house. So I love going there. The Minnesota Valley National Wildlife Refuge is close to my house here in St. Paul. That's 21 square miles of habitat, of different kinds of habitat, which is a lot of fun. You can see a huge variety there as well. And anywhere along the river is a great spot to see birds. You can see thousands of crows right now are gathering along the river. That's where I found that eastern screech owl, like I mentioned. I found a summer tanager along the river last summer, which is another bird that doesn't usually live here. So they're attracted to the waterway. And if you hike along the river, you can see a surprising amount.
The cities have really done a good job of sort of opening the river up to that kind of activity. They've gone out of their way, I think, to create these places where you can get along down along the river and walk and bicycle. And it's really quite nice. I think they're doing a good job.
Yeah. And you can walk around Lake Calhoun and see a surprising variety of waterfowl, which is a lot of fun. And there are plenty of opportunities to see birds around the city.
Yeah. Any, you know, on your post, you have this varied thrush. And then you have a picture of the Lewis's woodpecker, and it says that you got to see it on vacation. That's not a bird that you've ever seen in Minnesota?
No, and that's a bird that is rarely seen in Minnesota. It is not supposed to be here. That's another bird whose range is typically in the western third of the country. You would normally find that on the coast, Arizona, New Mexico, Mexico, places like that.
So if you went out there, would it be as common as, say, a downy or a hairy is here?
Yes. Yes, okay. They're fairly common out there.
It's quite a lovely bird. I don't know that I've ever seen one, but I'm certainly going to be on the lookout for them now. Do you travel a lot to see birds?
Yes. I've put on hundreds, if not thousands, of miles on my vehicle since the pandemic started just to see different birds around the state.
Sticking to Minnesota for the most part?
Yes. Yeah. Uh-huh. I try not to travel across state lines because of the pandemic and all.
Right. And I know you're familiar with this area up here because this is sort of your home ground. But Sac Zim, good spot to go. Of course, the Duluth Harbor. Grand Marais Harbor, I heard, is a good place to bird. Other places around the state that you would recommend if people wanted to go out and do some birding?
Yeah, I think Aiken County is highly underrated from a birding standpoint. You can find all the winter finches that I mentioned earlier in many of the spruce and tamarack bogs in Aiken County, specifically around the Moose Willow Wildlife Management Area. I've seen great gray owls there. I found northern shrikes there, pine grosbeaks, evening grosbeaks, like I mentioned earlier. A great variety there as well.
Wow.
We're talking to Brandon Lentz today. He's a volunteer at KEXE, KBXE. We're talking birds with him. I'm Heidi Holton with John Latimer. I suspect you're like John Latimer, Brandon. It's kind of in your DNA to be watching what's going on in nature and paying attention to things like the birds. Are you finding more people are paying attention, though, during the pandemic?
Well, I didn't actually get into birding myself until the pandemic started.
Oh, okay.
I went out one day and I looked up, and when I looked up, I was like, oh my gosh, there's this whole entire world that I had not been noticing before. What have I been missing? And, like a lot of birders do, I started making a list of the different species that I had found. And on the first day I went out, I looked down on my list and I thought, man, my list is pretty paltry. I need to make this grow. And since then I've discovered all kinds of places around the city where you can bird and all sorts of places around the state where I never would have gone otherwise. So the byproduct of birding is just getting out in nature and discovering places and just being out in nature, which is wonderful.
Have you directed any of your attention to the what would I call it, the ancillary parts of birding, like the trees and the ferns and the flowers and that sort of thing? A little bit, yeah.
I mean, once you learn about the birds, you have to figure out what they eat, like you mentioned, and to see a specific kind of bird, you have to find the habitat that they're in. And to find the habitat that they're in, you have to learn about their diet. So another byproduct of birding is just learning about the ecosystem in general.
Do you have any recommendations? Are you using binoculars? What kind of equipment or field guides are you finding work best for you?
You need binoculars for sure. And I suggest Nikons. Nikon Monarchs are what I use right now. They're fairly affordable and they can see a great distance. I'm very happy with them. As far as field guides are concerned, Cornell has an app called Merlin Bird ID. It's free. You can download that and enter in the different specifications and details of the bird that you saw. And depending on the characteristics, it'll narrow it down to like a very small list. And that'll help you with identification that way. And I've learned quite a lot from that app.
Oh, great. Well, Brandon, I hope you keep us posted on what you're seeing in the city or you're seeing up north. We'd love to check in with you more often.
Yeah, I would love to come on anytime.
All right.
Well, thanks for joining us, Brandon. Good to see you. Keep your eyes up and let me know what's going on down there. It's always fun.
Will do. Thanks, John. Thanks, Heidi.
Yep.